Blog Talk Radio.
Can anyone hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. I was having a problem there for a second. Hold on. Let me get rid of this. Testing. Again, I'm having problems in the studio, Brother Aziz. Can you hear me?
I can hear you with an echo.
Okay. I had to switch over to telephone from direct to the station. So you take it for a moment and do our introductions. I'll get back with you when I straighten a lot of this out. Go right ahead, Brother Isaiah.
Okay, I hope people can hear me. Is anyone out there? This New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C., Blog Talk Radio Show. This is your co-host, Abdul Aziz Shaheed, and we have our host, Bilal Bynum. We've been on Ramadan, so any of our listeners out there that participated and observed Ramadan, Eid Mubarak to you and the Eid, and we're glad to be back. While we were gone, we had Ms. Joyce Williams do our show for, along with Director Stone and sometime Miss Ella Woods, but we want to say Miss Williams did an excellent job in promoting our show, and we want to thank her for that. But for our people that's out there, our listeners out there, I'd like to let you know that the New Africa Blog Talk Radio Show is about networking and marketing businesses. Our show is on every Wednesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And tonight we're going to have an open mic. And also I'd like to let you know that the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C. is now the New Africa Business Association Black Belt Wall Street of Washington, D.C. And we became part of Black Belt Wall Street, or became Black Belt Wall Street, because what we're now focusing on, not only with our program that we've continually focused on for the last several years or more, we're going to be talking about building our communities, investing in our communities more, establishing businesses all around the country in the African-American neighborhoods. We see that there are no businesses. There's blight there. And as one of our co-hosts also, Mr. Sam Harris, has told us that we're right now, the community in most places around the country is on life support. We have no businesses. We're not really taking care of our community. And today we have an opportunity to get buy some of those businesses that are left there, that are gone, that are there no longer in our community. Matter of fact, no longer in our towns. By investing in these businesses and bringing them back to life again, we're investing in our community, because it won't be long, and we're sure to see this going on all over, that you're going to see other people coming in the community and investing in the businesses and buying them up, wherein we won't be able to buy anything or have any businesses in our community. So this is part of what the New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street, Washington, D.C., this is what we primarily do: promote businesses, network businesses. We invite anyone in the African-American community in America and outside of America to participate in this program. And again, it's invested in your communities, investing with one another, coming together, doing business together. This is something that we've been long, long waiting for to do for a long time. We want to repeat the Black Belt Wall Street in every community around the country, just the way it was done before. We have to do this. It's a must that we do this. If we don't, we're not leaving any opportunities or any thoughts of opportunities in our communities for our youngsters, for our youth. That's one of the reasons we need business. Communities, no matter what they are, your churches, your masjids, wherever your places of worship are, they really don't exist without business people, really. The business people in the community invested in that to make those institutions better places where people can come and not only get spiritual education, but, you know, interest there goes on, you know, where people get together, business people get together. Church has been a place, mosque has been a place where people come together, besides you know, the religious worship and praying together. And they've also talked about business, met other people that have businesses in that. And that is how communities grow. That is how we market our business and network of businesses.
That's
but
right.
What we need from a lot of,
yeah.
Someone on there?
I'm right here, Brother Oliver.
Yes. What we really need is we need some members. The New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street of Washington, D.C. One of the things we need to keep this effort going is not only for businesses to be a part of it, we need members. We need people with the same interest to invest in membership. Become a member of the New Africa Business Association, Black Belt, Wall Street, or Washington, D.C. Become a member. Have a voice. We always let people come on, not only talk about their business, market their business, but also network with others. And we can truthfully say we have, because of our radio broadcast, we've been able to have some businesses that network together that have done some real big business. And they're continuing to do business together, they've networked together. So this has made us feel good about people in our, that have listened to our program and come on and participate, as well as became members, that they've gotten together with other businesses and they have expanded their business, their networking, and doing business together. So this is what we're about. Whatever your business may be, janitorial business, lawyer business, accounting business, garbage truck business, whatever your business is, come on our show, let us know about it. You're in the community or wherever your community is. You may be listening to us from some other part of the country, Kansas City, Tulsa, Oklahoma City. Come on, let us know about your business, as well as the people that may be listening can know out there in Oklahoma or Tulsa, wherever you may be. So this is what we're about, and, you know, we look forward to more and more participants. Brother Bilal, are you on with us? Have you come back yet? Yeah, we've today also had a few technical difficulties. Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me? I was on mute.
Oh, okay, yeah, I can hear you now.
All right, yeah.
I'm trying to find out if we had any more listeners on there.
Again, they will come on as they come on. We'll just go ahead and do our and talk generally, like we're talking tonight. We are talking generally because network,
yes.
Business identification. So anyone who comes on tonight gets to talk generally just like we do, because they can identify mm-hmm. their business and let the community know who they are. So,
yeah.
That's who we are tonight. And, but like you were saying, some of your comments is what I thought we would talk about anyway tonight, because, hold on, I'm trying to take a bottle of water. But and Aziz, you can talk along with him. You don't have to wait until I finish or anything. This is a conversation that you, and we're talking about now, the New Africa and Black Belt Wall Street, and why we incorporated those two powerful entities, business entities. So
right.
So that's what, like I said, you that's what you and I will be talking about tonight, because it's been a while and it's since we actually did a good introduction of our own self, because we've been so busy trying to identify others, and which that's what our objective is anyway. But at the same time, there's you have to advertise yourself, because folks need to know who you are, and especially when we start talking about membership. see, folks become members of organizations that is valuable to them. And, of course, mm-hmm. our 7 years of hard work so far, and like you said, working at our being our own banker, our own asset, we did it ourselves more or less, but doing it because you and I realized there wasn't an open communication channel as far as African Americans being able to instantly be able to communicate and let everyone know what's going on in their community, at least while we're on the air. And like you were saying, our statistics are showing that our listeners for the last 7 years have spread it throughout the UK and Africa and Arabians. And, I mean, we're out there and all over the Caribbean. So, so again, we welcome. But like I said, tonight, those of you that would be a calling in, you could we could talk live, and that way you the whole objective is to talk about your business for about 3 or 4 minutes, and at least all of our listeners and all of our members, and whether it's on the audio or whether it's on internet. It's going to be there for you. So so again, with that said, it's open mic. So, and I'll be occasionally going, and I'll be opening up the show for. I'll be opening up, taking everyone off mute, so they can also. Participate in this general conversation. But Brother Aziz, like I said, the New Africa Business Association, of course, was started by our late leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, who's incorporated the MBA, which those acronyms stands for the American Muslims Business Association. And that was incorporated in 1995. In 2005, your ma'am announced that he was making a name change of all the business associations from the Muslims Business Association to the New Africa Business Association. And, of course, and that was done. Since then, we have been representing the New Africa Business Association ever since that announcement. And that's what started. Now, of course, the New Africa Business Association, like I said, was started by Imam W.D. Muhammad, which means that there are many, many New Africa Business Associations. If you wanted to get in touch specifically here with us here in D.C., you would put in New Africa Business Association, URL, or you could put in DC, and that would bring you to us. But if you went on the internet and just said you could be Atlanta, you could be Jersey, you could be North Carolina, you could be California, you could be all over the country, because that's how big the business establishments are with African American Muslims. And speaking to that, the reasons that there's that national university, and Aziz, you know more about this than I do, but the reasons for that national university was that his Imam W.D. Muhammad's father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he had more businesses during his time than any African-American businesses ever in this country. So again, today, you can still find where, that's why today, we can all have channels as to where we can not only communicate, but we can use those communications and talk about industry, business, and start keeping the powerful black dollar that we spend, and sometimes because we put monies in the bank, but we're not doing anything but giving it away. Because those who are going to prosper from the dollar is always look like it's going to be white folks. So again, that's why it's so important to start building businesses and building commerce back in your own communities that you walked away from, talking about you wanted to be integrated. Before it's too late, the same black communities where you see white folks are abandoned and they're leaving and they think they're turning them into ghost towns, see, African Americans, this is the time. You're living in those same neighborhoods, but there's no commerce in your neighborhood. Why not put commerce in your neighborhood? If you see that's an opportunity. If you see where someone has abandoned, and this is your own community, and it's been abandoned because, like I said, the white folks find another town. And I see it happening all over the country. Wherever, even my hometown, I'm from the state of Delaware. And when these places, and they go and build a new community, the places they're leaving is and this is because you ain't going nowhere. You're going to be staying right there, still your community. Why not put the same commerce that they left, you go in there and put it back past yours. And you're not paying no rent because you paid for it. That's what I'm saying. When we talked about we're buying the block, I repeat that. When we talk about the New African Business Associates and the Black Belt Walls, we talk about we're doing that. Selma, Alabama, we done made some serious investments because Caucasians walked out of that city saying they had abandoned it. We, as African Americans, the few of us that saw where it was a wonderful event, yes, and we know that there is a lot, we know a senator, John Lewis, his center is going to be put there. The buildings that we was fortunate enough to buy is right across the street from that senator, that center is going to be. So when the world started coming in vacation and looking at historical values, that's going to be one of the places. Selma is huge. Not only Selma, but that is just an example of what I mean when I'm saying start putting businesses in your own community. Your community, when I say your community, everybody know what I'm talking about, because there was barriers put up. That's what redlining is all about. And it still exists in all black communities. And redlining was intentionally put forth to keep black folks from having large financial institutions in their own communities. And the reason, so there is no businesses in the black community, because commerce are those folks who run our commerce. You know, they, again, there's a red line. They told banks and stuff like that. Your community is not the value of the market. They didn't have the market. Matter of fact, didn't have any market value at all. So, and that went on for years. It's still real quietly still going on. But that's just an example of having your own. And so what you abandon, you need to go back before. Because right now, with the greed that's going on in this country, many of you are going to find that you need to do something, because rent and this housing thing is out of control. I mean, you might have been paying $2,000 a month for rent, and all of a sudden they're giving you a notice saying you got to pay $3,500 or $4,000 or you got to go. I mean, how many folks can pay type of so this is the type of catastrophes that is right on top of it, and it's not greed. Greed is not going anywhere. Matter of fact, they're telling me it's getting ready to raise us up again. Because it's almost the election time, and boy, I'll tell you, you can really see just how messed up this country is when it comes to hate and racism. When it comes to justice, boy, look how they can set up what they call justice as far as these judges and things. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And these folks, that's what justice is. So again, like I said, African Americans, owning your own property, that's the first thing. Having a house that is yours, you ain't got to worry about having a landlord. This is what I mean about if you go home back to where you left and build up that black community that they say do not have any value, that's a good time to buy, because the values come in what you put in your community. You know, that's where the values of a community come from, is first you, the people, and what you put into the community to create the values. So again, this is our emphasis, and like I said, that's the New Africa Business Association. That's what our objective is, especially when we incorporated and became a part of Black Belt Wall Street. Now, Black Belt Wall Street, and I know you go around and everybody, and Brother Aziz, can you believe how many Wall Streets you see there?
Yeah, I know. They're just growing, getting bigger and bigger.
I mean, they got them everywhere you go. I got a Wall Street. I'm a Wall Street this, I'm a Wall Street that. Well, I mean, you didn't even name when we first started talking about this a few years ago. And how much the thing about it, though, we did put, and which was a huge mistake, we talked about Black Belt Wall Street rather than, not Black Belt Wall Street, we talked about Wall Street. We didn't know at the time the history of Wall Street and Black Belt Wall Street. But once we realized our history, that's why, and just to be informative for those of you, when we start talking about what history. We're talking about, first let's talk Booker T. Washington. He and his business organization came up with business plans, and those business plans is what the Greenwood Business District out of Tulsa, Oklahoma at the time was able to use their huge wealth and start spreading it throughout the South, starting from Texas all the way up to New York. And this is where that Black Belt Wall Street, the organization that Booker T. Washington started, was able now to start huge business like Marcus Garvey, because now African Americans during that time had their own banks and financial institutions. In other words, we owned the commerce of our communities, and all of that was possible because, again, the wealth that was coming from the Greenwood Business District and that huge oil that white folks today have taken and have been making billions of dollars right now, selling it still back to us, and we're the ones who own it. But again, at that time before disruption that was okay by the state and federal government to kill all of our ancestors and take what they wanted, there is a they have, in addition to not only that disruption, but to make certain that, now first of all, Black Belt Wall Street and the Green Belt Wall Street, when Booker T. Washington is the one who gave the Greenwood District the name Black Belt Wall Street. Give them the name Black Wall Street. And because, again, that's what, rather than just the Greenwood Business District, they give the organization, give Tulsa the name Black Wall Street. And because it was there, that huge finance that was coming from there that brought about, like I said, huge businesses such as Marcus Garvey, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm X, the Cotton Club. I mean, we can go on and on. Not only that, it was able to, that sharecroppers, African-American sharecroppers, was now able to go into their own communities and go to their own banks and pay off their sharecroppers, the white folks who own them, because of the debt that brought about in sharecropping. They was able to pay that debt off now, and by law they could move. And of course, we know during that time, Ford had just made the Model T. Remember that old Model T, Aziz? And Ford had just made it, and the Model T, you could buy a brand new Model T back in those days for $100. But $100 was an old thing back in those days too. So the average African American couldn't buy that car. But after 3 years, that old Model T, the Caucasian who had originally bought them, the Model T was now ready to be traded in because they was ready to upgrade. And that's what started the huge car business, is because of that Model T. It was a trade-in. Now, rather than $100, the trade-in was $50, $25, and who knows, you might even get one for $15. But in any case, how that migration of African-Americans from the South opportunities. They weren't making no monies in the South, so they were going north for the business opportunities that the North was offering them. And but they was able to do that a lot because of that old model, that poor Model T. A lot of times, if you see pictures of that movement, you see how high they would stack their packages trying to move. Boy, I mean, remember Isaiah?
Yeah, I've seen the pictures, brother, wherein those cars were loaded down with us leaving the South, brother, coming up out of there. I mean, packed.
Yep. Showed up. So, again, that's what the power of our black dollars was then. And that's what the power of our black dollars is today. I know last year's figure, I haven't gotten the statistics for this 2021, the spending, America's commercial spending was $1.7 trillion in 1 year.
Yeah.
1 year, $1.7 trillion. And that's consumer. We ain't talking about taxation. And the monies we put into this country, and it goes out of our communities, is the reason why we want to put it back in your communities, and your communities is going to look just like Wall Street was the example. That was the example of how we should be. And if we would go back, because until integration, circulated in our communities because of our commerce and our independence. Our money during that time was circulating in our communities. It circulated in our communities 40 times before it went on the outside of our communities. And that's how powerful the black dollar was then. And that is still how powerful your black dollar is today. That's why, again, if we would go back to our own communities and unify, become each other's asset. And what I mean by that is when you your communities form these business ideas, now you all get together and put your funds together to purchase that idea, incorporate. Just like the we went for one incorporation here recently, and like I said, we just reincorporated while we was out for the last 30 days. We reincorporated Africa and Black Belt Wall Street, a business association. Because the black belt, we want to make certain that we pass that in, because that's what African Americans should be advertising. Because every time you go out here and say, I am a black belt, I'm Black Wall Street, anything, white folks have a patent on that name, Black Wall Street. Just like they own
Wall Street.
Just like they took
right.
Also, they also was making certain that Black Wall Street wasn't something that would be talked about. That's why you haven't heard from it, probably most of you, until we started talking about it a few years ago. And I am glad that we have the idea of Black Wall Street. But saying that a black, well, no, you are black belt. See, the black belt, like I said, it was so big because you talk about states that was members of black belt business district, which ran, again, from all the way from Texas all the way to New York, including Chicago, Detroit, and all those places. Like I said, this is how many of the huge black businesses, that's how it was all financed. That's the Cotton Club and all of that. All of that was financed from there, that huge black belt Wall Street business organizations. And like I said, that's too big for any races to come in and say, oh, there's disruption. But Tulsa was a one town and one area was attacked. And yes, but and was taken over. But to all of us, you know, but like I said, that's a pending situation. Tulsa is always going to be a pending situation with African Americans, and to do justice, true justice, real justice is done. But at the same time, we look at the example of what happens when you have a business, your money circulating in your own community. And if you look at our community's money circulation, brothers and sisters, start with that huge church. The church is the biggest business in the African community, and it's been that way ever since redlining started. It was been that way. That's because, again, African Americans have not abandoned their community churches. Stayed the course. And because they have stayed the course, that is now, it has been, the biggest business organization in our communities. But that is a non-profit organization. They don't have the abilities to use their monies for profit making and establishing businesses because of the taxational laws they have to apply to. So again, my thing is, even though it's non-profit, when we put our monies into the church, that money's now is going to go to the Federal Reserve. Your banks is first. When I say we put our monies, we put it into Lord. We put it into, but that's, and I use the church because it's such a big organization. We put it there, and along with all our spending monies and whatever, but that's where a large portion of our monies will go, and those monies now will go into the banks. But unfortunately, like I said, there are no financial institutions in the black communities. So you have to take your monies by necessity to the white banks. And you put your monies there. They're going to send it to the Federal Reserve. And then the Federal Reserve, your monies now is going to, as far as the deposits from the area that you sent, the Federal Reserve, a Federal Exchange Commission. That Federal Exchange Commission's job is to see to it that those deposits that came from whatever area or what have you is all sent back to that area, the community. Our monies are sent back, but it's sent back to the white banks. So which means now they redline us with our own money. And say that you can't get a loan, but they can be extended for the productivity of the white community. That's been going on for years, and so that's what I mean about going back home and using your powerful money potentials back in your own communities, and build those beautiful homes and beautiful work offices and shopping centers. There's no reason why we can't build all that right in our own communities. monies that we are issuing out to the to white communities. That's where it's going, because we have to deposit our monies into their banks. We don't, and until that change, you're making others rich. As they say, at your expense. And Brother Aziz, like I said, I'm going to open the mics, but I'm going to turn it over to you for a second. Let me go ahead and open these mics. I can't get too close to it because our direct connect is not working tonight. I have to operate the phone. So I'll be away for it. I'm going to open the mics up. I don't know who is on the listing, but we'll open it up and let everybody share in, because, like I said, it is open mics. But Brother Aziz, you can take it. I'll be right back.
Yes, yes. One of the things that I see that's necessary and that's happening in the community is that, well, the churches, they invest in things, expanding the growth of the church. But as we say, they know that they can't go into a profit-making business. So the monies that they do collect can be used for business. It can be used for members of the organization, being loan money, given money to start a business. So this money sitting in the bank is doing nothing. It's not helping nobody. You can only grow the church or the masjid so big. What do you do with the rest of the money? Start giving it out in scholarships and that for children to go to college, whatever. We still need businesses in the community. We need places for people to live. One of the things that's going on in Washington, D.C. right now, Masjid Muhammad of Washington, D.C., along with Banneker Enterprises, is building a $40 million residential apartment complex over in Southeast Washington, D.C., and down, I forget how many apartments it's going to be, I think it's 100 or something like that, maybe a little more. And they're going to have a couple businesses down below, a bakery-like almost, and I don't know what the other businesses are going to be, but this is an effort by the community, Muslim community, along with the Banneker Enterprises and that, are putting up a needed thing over in that community that's going to be affordable for a lot of the people that live over there, and that's, you know, some apartment complex. But some of the other things that are needed, not only in that community, but in other African American communities, are food courts, i.e. meaning a big grocery store or either small grocery stores. They're definitely needed, as well as pharmacies, where people that don't have transportation, they got to wait on the bus for hours and that. They don't have a pharmacy within a mile of their home or two of their home where they can get these, or grocery stores that they can get needed items for. And we see a lot of this going on in the African-American communities where we don't have these things. And I have a classmate of mine, that's a pharmacist down in Tampa, Florida. And he's working in the neighborhood, you know, and I think about what my point is, not just, you know, that I know one African-American pharmacist, but what I'm saying, I know we have African-American pharmacists, dentists, lawyers, and all this. To attract them back into the neighborhood, there, a lot of them are not in the neighborhood in a sense, you know, they're other places, and have all this convenience in our neighborhood. This is what we need, but what we primarily need also is businesses that we need every day. We don't need a lawyer every day, but we do need the food places where we can buy food every day. We need a place where a convenience store, when the grocery store isn't. We need a laundromat. We need a pharmacy. We need a number of gas stations in the neighborhood. We need a lot of things that we could go into business. I've known also, I had a cousin that was on a gas station, an Exxon gas station in Atlanta. But he did too well, and he let other things overcome him, and he lost everything. He lost everything to alcoholism. And, you know, it's sad, but we did have had people, you know, in spotted places that do have and go into business in certain things like that gas station with convenience stores around there. So these are the things we need in our community, you know, laundry, you know, cleaners, where you can get your clothes dry, clean, and pressed. We used to have those in our communities all around the country. But again, you go around the country in our community, primarily the only businesses you still see left in our communities that are flourishing, as usual, always, as well as a place for community, for guys to communicate and gals to communicate, and that is the barbershop or the beautician shop. Those are always going to be in the community. And, you know, we always get around there and shoot the breeze, as we call it, and, you know, some information is passed, good information is passed about businesses, what's going on in the community, what's happening at this church, that church, or the lodge, or whatever. But, you know, we need more of those. We need more than that. And again, you know, food businesses, convenience stores, gas stations, laundromats, dry cleaners. We have African Americans that know how to do this. But these empty spaces in our community that are empty and vacated and that's where we need to bring some businesses back in there that we know the community needs. A good way to, if you're not a one in one.
And you know, Brother Aziz, what you're saying, all of those you're talking about, and anyone who's listening, I don't care where you might be located, wouldn't it be wonderful if we start owning and putting together a business plan to own all those businesses that brother just named? You know?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
You know, become invested, becoming each other's asset. Because
that's right.
Create and be owners. And like I said, it incorporates our organization. You don't have
that's
to worry.
That's a good idea,
about,
Brother Bilal.
Yes.
I like that idea to get those professionals together, the laundry guy, the laundromat guy, the dry cleaner guy, the laundromat guy, the doctor, the dentist, the lawyer, the gas station guy. Yeah, to get a layout like that, that's a great idea. And every time we go to a place, that's what we put there for the community to come and invest in.
Everybody's going to put that in.
That's for you there.
And look at the monies that you're going to make when you go into business and have those types of business. And right in the African-American community, because, again, there is a demand there for business. It has been there.
Right.
Way now,
exactly.
There ever since the Black
right.
and Black Wall Street, where we had that business, you know, it was our own banks and everything. And, you know, the thing that destroyed the success of that black money flow that was coming through during the time of the Greenwood District, that famously, you know, Black Belt Wall Street, named Black Wall Street, well, that organization, again, through its huge amount of cash flow, that cash flow was able to finance the Black Wall Street business districts all over the country. And like I said, all the way from Mexico to New York, and you'll see famous big businesses such as, like I said, Marcus Garvey. That's what started his financial. And they tell me the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm X, many, the Cotton Club, the abilities for African Americans, sharecroppers loan debt, where he was able to start the migration. Even the South, because they've been working all those years for no money, and now they was leaving to come to the northern areas where they could get jobs, and that's where more or less we are today. But now we're saying it's time to go home. Go back to where you because that's where you can afford and to start growing, and that growth can be just as big as the example of what the Black Belt Business District or Black Wall Street. That is the example of what we should and our communities should be. We should have black businesses and Black Belt business participation all over this country, and, especially African American communities, because that's where the opportunities for businesses and making your communities value, like all of the communities that had a barrier. And I'm saying the barrier I'm talking about is what separated the black communities and the white communities. And everybody who's listening, they know what that barrier or what separated their communities. And that's where the redlining starts. It's where those barriers that separate your communities. And all of the financial gains, like I said, is going into the Caucasian community. Your community has been blackballed financially. And other than that, they welcome you to come on across and spend your money. It's almost like the old sharecropping thing. I mean, there's a serious history there. Well, I ain't going to get into that. Fridays and Saturdays and the weekend started. But, this is a perfect example where you have to take all the funds and go across town, a town that, like I said, as far as the disasters, and we're going through some serious disasters. Yeah, they're talking about food and stuff like that won't be on the grocery store. Do you realize how the prices these greedy folks are going to put on food?
Right, yeah.
Due to oil and gas.
That's right.
Like I said, in the necessity that you have, look at your housing situation. And these are the necessities they know that human beings have to have in order to survive. You have to have clothing. You have to have housing. You know, you have to have a transportation, the ability to get around and what have you. So these are essentials of life. That's what they're putting the high costs on.
You know, Brother Bilal,
yes,
I was going to say one of the things. Excuse me, Brother Bilal. You know, one of the things that is going on now with everything that's happening is it is deliberate.
Oh, it's
deliberate. It is very deliberate, and people have to realize this here. And you know, sometimes I just want to say it's deliberate, and it's almost like as a veteran, and you, as a combat veteran for the United States of America, and you too, Brother Vlad, have been in combat for this country, fighting for this country, fighting for these people to preserve the right for everybody, man and woman, to have freedom, justice, and equality. And when we see people, no matter if they are the President of the United States, as well as the Justice Department, and that, when we see them undermining the Constitution, which we as African Americans have stood up and fought for something that did not include us at all. And I'm saying that if any African Americans listen to this here, they need to observe what's going on in this country. And it's no greater a time than now for us to bond together when it comes to doing business, communicating, as well as protecting one another. These are the things that is necessary for us to do. Don't think all this stuff going on in these other parts of the world can't happen to us. And I'm not talking about getting bombed and all that. I'm talking about what Brother Bilal was talking about just moments ago about the food, the clothing, and the shelter. Those things being put out of reach for people. The very things that you need to survive on being put out of your reach. So now is the time for us. We have African Americans that are in every one of those businesses, food, shelter, and clothing. And it's time we support and look for those people. So that's where our help is going to be, and that's where, you know, we're going to be able to get a better price than what we're going to do when we go back to the gas pump, $10 a gallon, wherever they can get away with this here, no price control. So what I'm saying is a time now is where it's very, very necessary for us to be looking at one another, doing business with one another. And I'll go so far as to say, whatever your choice is, praying together also.
Yeah.
So, Brother Bilal,
I agree. 100%.
You know, I want to
go ahead and with your talk while you're on that prayer.
Okay.
I just want to congratulate you, brother. We've completed Hajj, 30 days of fasting.
Yes.
And reading scripture,
yeah,
the Holy Quran,
yes, brother,
from cover,
yes,
to
brother,
cover.
From cover to cover, brother.
Yes, so,
I was telling one of our other brothers, Brother Bilal, that he was saying, man, there's so much that we got to read. Sometimes I'm not able to grasp everything that I'm reading. I say, it's not meant for that. What it's meant for is you to follow instructions. Read it. You can do it in 30 days. The comprehension part and all of that, you'll get that later when you go over it again. All you got to do is follow those instructions one time, and thereafter when you do that again and go through that, you'll be comprehending something new every time, because when we read that book, the Holy Quran, every time you read it, that's why they say we should learn the language, the Quranic Arabic, not the Arabic that the Arabs speak, but the Quranic Arabic. That's why they say we should learn it, because there's so many explanations to one word. And my point is, Every time we read it, Brother Bilal, and I mean every time, and that is if you read it every day of the year, you're going to come with a new understanding of what you just read. It's forever renewing and renewing, giving you more and more thoughts. And, you know, the guidance is there, brother. It's just a matter of you following the instructions. You follow the instructions, and no matter how long it takes you or how fast you got to read in order to get it to cram in everything, because that 1 month that the Muslims observe Ramadan, the rewards they get out of there is, you know, it's so much. It's hard to say. It's so many rewards out of there, you know, and it's just a personal good feeling you have about yourself. And congratulations to you, Brother Bilal, for completing not only Ramadan but also my Hajj brother too. So, you know, much congratulations to you. And, you know, I'd like to know, do we have any of our listeners out there? No one's out there? There's a silence today. The day we come back, everybody silent.
No, Brother Aziz, I think we're going to go ahead and close out. But we give the message that we are giving. Since it's a network marketing, the show is meant for participants. We don't have a bunch of them, so we'll go ahead and close out. And like I said, we're going to a channel of community.
Mm-hmm.
So that African-Americans will at least have this organization to get in touch, and we can get in touch with each other because of our network.
Yes.
So
yes.
We'll keep going until our younger generation take us over and take us to another their level of business,
right,
production. But in the meantime, we are going to continue to talk about and try to bring back the powerful black dollar circulating in our own community. Our objective.
Well, you,
and like I said, also, the black belt that they stole from us, that's a pending situation. And, you know, so we have a few. Let me go back to the mics again. I don't want to get anyone that is on the mic that is can hear us. We can hear you, and this is your opportunity to introduce yourself and let us know, especially if you have a business, we can know something about your business. So our mics are open. Welcome. We welcome your conversation.
Yeah,
I'm the one who's getting that feedback. Mm. Yeah. Okay, well, I guess we don't have, like I said, too many, but yes, Brother Aziz.
You know,
go right ahead, Brother.
Well, one of the other things I was going to say, and in the process of setting up networking and that, also, one of the guests we had on our show, Sister Aisha Abdul Ali.
Yes.
She was telling us about a FEMA program that they, remember the FEMA program they're offering about what we had to do for the upcoming disasters that is forecasted to happen?
Well,
and it was the very thing that we were just... You know, we would like to have her come back on the show, brother, because our community, you know, the ones that listen when they do, they need to listen to what the sister have to say, as well as, you know, she said they were going to have some programs they were going to set up soon. And I think it was $45, whether it was one person or whatever, many persons listening. But
that's what I'm looking forward to getting that. Do you have her information?
I think I do. Yeah, I got it. Yes,
okay,
I do.
Well, maybe we can, yeah, because you know, she knows us pretty well. So
right.
We can call and say hi. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Gave a pretty good. She gave a pretty good.
She was giving us information that's really the disaster. That is a disaster, and it's happening on us right now. So this business
right.
You were talking about, we in life support.
Yes.
I mean you have folks who are this greed that's going on could put a whole lot of folks homeless, and I'm talking about middle class.
Right. I mean, you know, she told us about everything.
Especially if you're written.
Yes. And she was saying, said, because of the food shortage, you're going to have animals coming up out of the woods attacking people.
Well, hell, they got turkeys over there at Anacostia Park. And this is the turkeys coming at you.
And I heard about that. I said, what?
Wild turkeys in D.C. jumping, running, you know. So it's already happening. Well, they're coming from somewhere.
Well, I know over there in southeast, over there over Texas Avenue, where Ajit was living at, and his wife still live over there. Back over there, Fort Hunt. What is that? The Fort what? That park
today.
Over there. What is it?
Fort DuPont Park.
Fort DuPont Park, brother.
Yeah.
They got wild turkeys over there. Yes, sir, Reed. And they got a big space over there where a lot of people be gardening.
Listen, that's the woods. Fort DuPont Park is a huge woods.
Yeah. That's
it's
right, brother.
The park. That's a
right.
Huge woods. I don't know what's back up in those woods. Nobody do.
Matter of fact, the reason why I know is turkeys back in there. One day, Roger and I was going to his house, coming on Texas Avenue from the back way through the park, and we saw the turkeys, brother, fly right up off the road and fly over towards where these poor people are. I said, well, I'll be wild turkeys, man.
Fly at you.
Yeah, they ain't like no domestic turkey.
I'm saying, you remember, that boy's got that huge beak. You upside the head, that thing will knock you out.
Well, you know, a lot of these turkeys that people buy in the store and that, they're not the same as the wild turkeys.
Oh, no.
You know, they're not the same. Matter of fact, all these turkeys that's bought in the store, all of them are white feathered and that. They're white feathered, you know. They don't look like what.
We don't. Listen, in Delaware, down in the rural area where I was raised,
yes,
brother,
sir.
They still go out in the woods. My cousin and I, a couple of years, Thanksgiving days, he wanted to have dinner, and he said everything for dinner is going to be natural. And brother, he went out and all kinds of bird, but he got a turkey. Got him a wild turkey.
Yeah.
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 So,
well, you know, a lot of people don't know how to clean no wild turkey, let alone they don't know how to clean a chicken.
They you know, you take, when you say a lot of people, you're talking about folks in the cities and the, what you call the suburbs and all like that. No,
yeah.
See, that's what I mean about the disaster. What happens in grocery stores, and there is no, you can't afford the food in the grocery store. See, Almighty God said he's the one who feeds us. But if yourself and get the produce that is there for you, and it could be in the woods. But,
right.
Man, like I said, our freezers and stuff when we was kids, and I know it's still going on in the areas that I was raised right now. I could go to the average house, and their freezers are stacked from a game that they killed and processed, and they have it all frozen. And their freezers are just filled right to the top. And every year they do this. See, that's survivors. You know, and Almighty God is. So,
yeah.
You
know, down in Alabama.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I said down in Alabama, my cousins the same way, you know. They got a lot of stuff put up, meats and that, you know. Got an old brother around there they call Dirt Farmer. He be growing some everything all year long, you know, selling it, you know. Folks don't have gardens like they used to, brother. At least our people don't. And I think it has something to do with, you know, again, with slavery, all them old hard jobs, and they were looking for something different than that. They got tired of that. And that's why there were so many vacancies in these southern towns, brother, because people left to find better jobs, you know, the better living, and that, you know, that they wouldn't even get minimum wage down home. You can't take care of no family.
That's why there was migration from the south to the north.
Yeah.
Because
a big one, brother.
Money down there. And everybody went home. But I'm saying they are retired now and they're moving back. Because of affordability, and they can build the same beautiful house you think you have in the integrated community. I hate to say white community. I don't want nobody to think I'm trying to be a racist. But I am, but the same houses you have in communities other than the African American community, you can put it in your own community. That's what I mean, making your own community build, because, and you can do it at a much lower cost. Because our community, when they started redlining for many, many years, we didn't have any cats. There was no such thing as a black community where you were saying your house had a cash value. You know, you have equity in your house.
Yeah.
No, they didn't allow. They said no. Our communities was invaluable. That's that
right,
red line.
You know.
That's what
right.
Red line. The red line is making certain that black community don't have a cash flow. And,
right.
If you notice. Even now, when there is a community, like remember President Obama, when he came in office, we was into a disaster, and he had to loan money to the country.
Yeah.
So we could have a monetary way of life.
Well, you know, they borrowed that out of Social Security and never put it back, too.
But my point is this, brother Aziz. 22, the black community's why there is no financial institution he could send the monies to. And so all of our monies, as far as, you know, they say they take the census report and all like that, they do.
Right.
They send the money to a zip code, and that zip code is white folks' zip code. And again, that red line that they have between, even though you, because you know, you live in the same zone as the white folks, you have that same zip code. But the zip code is for its financial institutions coming back into your communities, and money is being allocated by the federal government to your communities according to the census report of your community. All those monies go to the financial institution of that community, so it goes to white folks. And they don't see any need to share it with black folks, and no one is regulating anything to see to it that it do come into our communities. So again, that's the effort to keep finance from out of our communities. Because again, what we're talking about, they really don't, when I say they, the business establishments and those businesses established are Caucasian. And they don't want, if we had those businesses in our communities, the movie theaters, the bowling alleys, or whatever it is, the social entertainment places that we enjoy, and having a business and housing all built and mixed together, they know that that would be, taking that power for dollars away from them, and it's going down back into our own community.
You know, Brother Valon.
But I'm saying, I don't know why that's not the motivation of African American spirit.
Yes.
That you can live in your own towns, because they have some beautiful African American communities. But you drive through those communities, man, beautiful houses everywhere. But you don't see no commerce. I can't believe it. This is the opportunity to put up a beautiful restaurant. This is the opportunity to put up your gas stations and whatever it is, the necessities.
Mm-hmm.
That community buys, you start owning these establishments.
Right. Especially in PG County.
Especially all over this country, Aziz.
Well, all over this country. I mean, you know, talking about our area.
No, I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, I ain't like I'm not with you, but at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm so much of the achievement of the Black Belt Business District, how they was able to have such a wide range of business activity during that time. Man, you're talking about every state, all those folks that was under slavery, really, because when you was under
Jim Crow.
Well, Jim Crow too, but I'm saying the reasons the folks in the South couldn't leave because they worked under the conditions of
Yeah, back in that time when the slavery.
Well, yeah, after slavery, I was just talking about it, and I forgot the title.
When they sharecropping and all that stuff.
Sharecropping. That's what I was trying to. That's the one I was trying to recognize. Mm-hmm. Because it was the sharecropping that was really just another form of slavery. The laws of that state said that you couldn't leave those plantations as long as you had a debt with the owner.
Yeah.
And so again, you're always going to have a debt because the owner is putting surcharges on whatever you originally bought. There's all kinds of surcharges now when it comes time for selling. As we sold the crops and everybody made their money, but you was upside down. And that was always. African Americans was able to pay off their debt, and this is what the power of the Black Belt Wall Street, this because they had banks and business establishments all over the South. And this was after the destruction of the original Black Belt Wall Street.
That's right.
Because they wouldn't allow the black folks to rebuild because Tulsa, after that destruction of killing all our brothers and sisters, they now come in and start claiming all of those oil fields and the part of oil that the Greenwood District owned. And today, if you went to Tulsa, you would see great big oil refineries. It used to be a river of oil running through there. But now they contain it in refineries. And but that's our oil. That's what financed the Black Belt Wall Street. And like I said, many businesses that got started from African Americans having their own monies in their own communities, and that cash flow allowed many organizations and businesses to get started. And it also was able to pay off the debt where African Americans there could get out of sharecropping legally, because what held them was being in debt. So now they could pay off that debt. They were getting out of the South because they wanted to go places where they could really make some money. And that's when I'm saying that migration, you still needed transportation. And like I said, during that time of the original of Black Wall Street, of the Greenwood District, of business flow, Ford Model T made that Ford Model T during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And African Americans, like I said, once it became a used car, now we was able to buy that used Model T, which is and rather than $100, now you can get it for $50 or $25, and who knows, you might even catch a deal for $15. That was big, you'll get money back in there. That's why they was able to buy that old Model T and load them up and move to all the way from Texas throughout the northern cities. And that's where many of us are still today. cost and the greed that's going on in this integrated community that you have placed yourself because we thought, I mean, you know, we thought it, all of us thought it was better, but we're realizing that no, home, home is where I, that black community I came from, that's the best place for me to go because I can afford it there. And I need to do it before the high cost back areas. And the way that high cost probably would hit the black area is they'll just take the areas away from you. They just take your communities with high cost. I'll run you right out. So before that high cost comes to, but if you own your areas, you own your property. See, now you ain't got to worry about the high cost. You own your own communities, your own homes, your own communities, your own stores. You own it. Now you control our business planning and business activities. It's not planned for you. And so, but like I said, now the sister you were talking about bringing on us was her summer, that disaster program. Yes, we need to bring her back up because I know that program is going to start pretty soon. And yes, it's gonna be, especially Aziz, if we mess around and start a war.
Yo, brother.
We're not a long ways, you know, from war. Another stupid war.
I was reading about that today.
Yeah, we're just a second away from it. All because of white folks' temptation.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. And they just tempted, and you can't stop it.
These retired American generals that they be putting on the news, boy, these jokers look like they hyped up, man. They predicting like, hey, you know, we're ready to roll, you know.
Under any circumstances, they raise the nukes. They don't get nuclear. What? They don't. Let's kill it. Let's everybody kill everybody.
Yeah.
And you and I have been in the war. We know the disaster that it's gonna cause. And once it starts, you can't stop.
Mm-hmm. Well, our only protection is Allah.
Alhamdulillah.
And the guidance from Allah, Almighty God. That's the only protection for all the believers, whether they be Christian, Jewish, or Muslim.
That's
the only protection. Is praying to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. These fools are making a plan, and Almighty God is the best of planners. So,
like I said, brother,
we need to focus on the opportunities that's going to be coming up for us, brother. That's going to be available for us because these fools going out all kind of ways sideways, brother. And we just stay focused on what our program is about. We'll be rewarded because I've read in the past that one group of people have, you know, when they couldn't handle things so good, the poor people, the opportunity was given to. So we'll have to see how this works out, you know, because I think the biggest war that's going on is like what they call the War of Armageddon, and that's the battle of who's going to win the minds of the people, brother. That's where everybody else is all hyped up. We try to focus on what our business is. And I think we're going to be all right, brother. I really do believe it. All right, brother. Below.
I'm gonna say good evening, and we'll see everybody next week.
All right, my brother.
If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose? My brothers, if there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? I'm gonna have your head, your white teacher, who told you you love your black preacher. Do you respect your brother's woman friend? And share with black folks not of kin. People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And I won't have your head, your white teacher, who told you you love your black preacher.
Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation,
we'll make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to